For me, this is my last message to preach for about a month. And you may not understand that or care about that, but for somebody who preaches twice, sometimes three times a week, it is hard because it's what God called me to do. It's my job. And to not be able to do it, I love my job. It's not like, you know, I hate it and I'm glad. I'm going to miss being able to study and preach, or I can still study, but I'm going to miss being able to get up behind a pulpit and preach. So this is my last message for a while, so please just pay attention. And honestly, now I'm not trying to be, you know, freaky or morbid or anything like that, but I have to treat this, and I treat any message, but I have to treat this message like it's the last message I'll ever preach. Now, granted, anything could happen. I mean, I could die tomorrow in a car accident. But I'm having throat surgery on Friday, and anything could happen. And I don't think anything will happen, but still, I'm treating this message like it's the last one I'll ever preach. So I really appreciate it if you would just focus for a minute, realize why you're here, okay? Now, if you're just here for friends, and you're here for the wrong reason. If you're just here to have fun, then you're here for the wrong reason. Now, we can have fun, and we can have friends, but we come to church not for those reasons, but we come to church to learn about the Lord, to get closer to God, and I expect you to just treat it that way for the next few minutes. Can we do that, please? Just nod your head if we can do that. Okay, I appreciate that. Let's pray. We'll get right into the message. Lord, we love you. Bless this time. Thank you for all those who are here tonight. Thank you for our visitors. I ask you to bless us. Help us to listen and pay attention. Use this message in someone's heart. Give me the words to say. In your power, your precious name, amen. Philippians chapter 1, let me read one verse. It says in verse 6, look down at it. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6 says this, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you, and that's talking about God, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. If God starts a work in your life, he promised he would finish it. He promised it. He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Many of us have been to youth rallies and youth conferences and church, teens back, camp, whatever, and we've made decisions. Maybe we came down to an altar when the invitation came and we said, God, I want to do this. Lord, I need to stop doing this. Whatever it may be, we've made spiritual decisions in our heart. Some of us just made some big decisions up at Teen Spec. If you went to Teen Spec and maybe you came to an altar up in northern Michigan and you said, God, I want to be second. Lord, I want to do this. Lord, I want to do that. And you made decisions in your heart for the Lord. Maybe you didn't come to an altar. Maybe you sat in your seat and made the decision. Maybe on the bus ride home you made a decision. Maybe in the devotions in the hotel room you made a decision. But I would go as far as say that most of us in this room have made spiritual decisions with our life. Maybe you just did it at home, but we've made spiritual decisions. I'd also say that in that same group of people that have made spiritual decisions, most of us, if not all of us, probably have failed at those decisions. I know I have. I remember as a teenager, I would go to a conference or a teen camp or a rally, and God would speak to my heart about whatever, and I would say, you know what? I need to shape up. I need to make decisions. I need to get right. I need to get right with God. I need to get right with my parents. I need to read my Bible more. Whatever it may be, I made a spiritual decision as a teenager. And I probably even went up to an altar, knelt down, and said, God, please help me with it. Lord, please help me to follow this decision and keep it. And then a week or two later, I messed up. And that decision I made, I already failed at it. I bet that if I asked for a raise of hands, all of us would say, yeah, I've been there before. I've messed up. Some of you may even say, you know what? A decision that I made a few days ago at Teen Spec, I've already messed up. So we make decisions, and then we just mess up. And sometimes we're like, why is that? Why can't I keep my decisions? How do I keep that decision fresh in my mind? Because that's the thing. Sometimes it's not that we just deliberately go against our decision. We just forget that we even made the decision in the first place. For me, it was if I said, you know what? I have not been reading my Bible at all as a teenager. I haven't been reading my Bible at all, and I need to start reading it. So the next day, after I made that decision, I'd get up and I'd read my Bible. I'd go to school, do whatever, and I'd get home and I'd wake up the next morning, and it wouldn't be that I said, well, I don't want to read it today. I would just forget. And I'd go about my day, and then the end of the day would come, and I'd say, oh, I can't believe I forgot to read my Bible. And then I'd go to bed, and I'd forget again. And that decision I made just didn't stick. It didn't stick. How do you keep it fresh? How do you keep, and especially those who just made big decisions at Teen Spec. I'm preaching this really for all of us, but especially for those who just made big decisions at TeenSpec, life-changing decisions, maybe to be a better witness, maybe to live for God in every area of your life, maybe to be more faithful to church, maybe to read your Bible and pray more, maybe to pray more for your loved ones that aren't saved. I don't know what your decision was, but think about it. Think about a decision that you've made in your life at TeenSpec or even before that, maybe one that you've already failed. Think about a spiritual decision and think, okay, how can I keep it fresh? How can I keep that so I don't fail, so I don't mess up? I was thinking as I was studying for this message, okay, how do we keep our decisions fresh? How do we keep these things fresh in our minds so that we can stick with it and do what we're supposed to do? And as I thought of the word fresh, I thought of food. And I said, okay, that's just how I am. Usually when I think about anything, I think about food. Amen, Jordan, you know that. Amen. And I thought about food. I said, okay, how do you keep food fresh? And I automatically thought about someone like this. Now, granted, these are not complete saviors because sometimes if you put a thing of macaroni and cheese in here for 7 months, this isn't going to do much for it. It's still going to be nasty. But if let's say you want to save something for a few days. You get a Tupperware, you put it in there, and then what? Do you just put it in the fridge like that?
No.
You put the cap and you seal it up. I thought about that, and I said, okay, if I want to keep my food fresh, I've got to seal it up. Put it in the fridge, whatever. But most importantly, I got to seal it. Because I can't just drop my macaroni and cheese in the fridge. I got to seal it up in one of these things and put it in there. Now, if it's not, let's say I just do this, put it in there and I put it like this. Is that okay?
No.
No, it's got to be probably. So I can't just, you know, I got to put it on right, correctly. I got to put it on tight, make sure it's tight, make sure it's on right, not you know, going the wrong way. And not just half-heartedly, but I got to make sure it's nice and tight so that no air gets in there and doesn't go bad. I've got to seal it right. If I don't, you know what happens? And I've done this many times. Whether we left things out or we had food that was in a to-go container, you know, from a restaurant and we didn't seal it properly. After a few days, I'm like, we're going through something to eat. And I say, oh, and I'll open it up and I'll say, oh, this looks good. What's it? And I'll say, okay, no. And it'll just hit me and it smells. And there's like little, you know, green on there. And there's, you know, someone moving. And you're like, this is not good. And then is it eatable?
No.
Edible is a word too. And if it's not, I just made it one. So is it edible?
No,
Gracie, it's not. It's moldy. If you like eating mold.
You could take
and I'm not one of those guys. I'm not one of those guys that cuts the mold off and eats it. If it's like, you know, sometimes macaroni and cheese, okay? I've seen this because our kids love it. We'll put the rest of it in there. And sometimes it's not just moldy, but it's almost like there's like a little, there's like this much liquid on the bottom. Like, where is the liquid coming from? What is the deal? It's just like, and the macaroni and cheese, instead of being yellow, it's almost like a whitish.
That has
never happened. Well, you know, good for you. It's nasty. But listen, it's not edible. It's useless. Listen. It's useless. It's trash. I'm taking my Tupperware. Sometimes we're like, you know what? I'm not even saving the Tupperware. I'm throwing the whole thing away. I don't even want to clean that out. It's so nasty. But we dump it out because it's not edible. It's useless. It's trash. Now listen. Sometimes we make a decision. It's with a true heart. It's not just going up to an altar and saying, I want to do this better. It's really, in our hearts, we're really like, man, I really need to make the right decision. I really need to do things right. And your heart is totally in it. But you go home and you don't really, you just make the decision. That's all you do is make the decision. And you know what happens to that decision? It kind of starts to get moldy and useless and it becomes trash. And that decision is nothing. It doesn't even mean anything because you didn't properly seal it. And I'll explain what I mean when I say that. There was no work involved. You made the decision. You said what you needed to say, and you did make a commitment to God, but that's about it. That's all you really did with that decision. I want to give you a few things tonight for the next 15 minutes or so. I want to give you, for your decisions, 5 ways that you can seal your decisions. Just like this Tupperware, I'm going to leave this right here so you can remember this, just this thought. 5 ways that you can seal your decision. If you have a pen and paper, feel free to write them down. If not, just lock them up in here because this is important. I don't know about you, but I don't like it when I mess up on my decisions. I don't like it when I break a promise to God. It stinks. It's not good. God has never broken a promise with me. Every promise God's ever made to me, he's kept. And he'll continue keeping them. But I've broken a lot of promises with God, and it doesn't feel very good. Because you know what? The next time I go up and talk to God, I feel guilty. I say, I messed up on that decision. I'm sorry, Lord. I want to give you five ways you can seal your decisions. Okay? Number one is this. Seal it with prayer. Seal your decisions with prayer. Yes, come up to an altar and make your decision, but I'm not talking about just at the altar making a decision. I'm talking about when you get home, when you get back from church or youth rally or youth camp or teen spec or whatever, you take that decision that you made, and you don't just say it that one time, Lord, I want to read my Bible more, amen, and then you expect that the rest of your life you're going to read the Bible every day of your life. It doesn't work like that. You need to trust that God, the next day, God, help me to keep that decision. Help me to read my Bible. Lord, give me a desire. Some say, well, I don't read my Bible because I just don't really want to, Lord. And you can pray, Lord, give me a desire. Pray about it. Seal your decision with prayer. Maybe your decision was to be a better witness to your family. Well, say, God, then you don't just come up to an altar and pray and say, Lord, I'm deciding right now to be a better witness. Amen. And then, the next day, say, God, help me to be a witness. Lord, I need your strength. Hey, the next day after that, Lord, I need courage. I need boldness. Help me to be a witness. Give me an opportunity to witness. Seal your decision with prayer. Ask God to help you keep it. Here's a question. Can we keep all those decisions by ourselves? The answer is no. We cannot. We need God's help. So seal it with prayer. Whatever, some of you went to teen spec and you made decisions. Don't raise your hand. Think about it in your heart. But how many times since teen spec, which was only 3 days ago, have you prayed and said, God, help me to keep that decision? If the answer is, if you can't remember, that's not good. Seal it with prayer. Hey, that means you might have to write down your decisions, keep next to your bed or on your end table or whatever, and before you go to bed each night, say, Lord, help me to keep these decisions. Help me to be a better witness, Lord. I know I made that decision at teen spec. I made it at teen camp or at church or whatever, but Lord, I need your help to keep it. Please help me keep it. Seal your decision with prayer. The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And it doesn't just mean man. It means woman too. Listen, if you pray, if you ask God for help, listen, your prayers can accomplish great things. And one of those great things is that prayer will help you keep your decisions. God will help you. He wants to help you. He wants to hear from you. Seal your decision with prayer. Number two, seal it with preaching. Seal it with preaching. Now, I'm trying to keep this all alliterated so you can remember it if you don't have a pen. Seal it with preaching. The Bible says that the preaching of Christ is to them that perish foolishness. But to us, it's a good thing. Preaching can help you. Listen, you may have that decision you made, and maybe, I don't know, whatever it may be. Listen, be faithful to God's house. Don't expect to keep that decision if you're not here. God knows what decisions you've made. He knows the struggles that you face. And listen, he may have something prepared for you from the preacher or from me or from Pastor Rich or whatever. To encourage you, maybe say, man, I've been trying to keep my decision. I've been trying to read my Bible more, and I'm struggling with it. And then you skip church, and the pastor that night was preaching on how to have a better walk with God, and you missed it. You see what I mean? God can use preaching to help you keep your decisions. Learning something else, maybe it's about, you say, man, I need to be a better witness. Listen, the preacher may be talking about how to be a better witness. Seal your decision with preaching. Be here in God's house. Listen, I understand that sometimes, there's sickness. Sometimes maybe your parents won't allow you to come. Listen, I'm not saying, run away from home and come to church. But I am saying when you can come to church and there's nothing stopping you, you need to be here. Be here. God has something special for you. God has a message prepared for you. Seal your decision with preaching. Number three, seal your decision not just with prayer and with preaching, but seal it with godly people. Seal your decision with godly people. The Bible says, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. You make a decision for the Lord, I want to know about it as your youth pastor. I say, well, I don't want to tell you. Well, nothing to be embarrassed. There's nothing embarrassing about a decision that you're making for the Lord. Nothing. It's actually a great thing. You can come up to me and say, Pastor Donald, I've been listening to the wrong kind of music, and I want to give it up. I'm not going to say, oh, I can't believe you've been listening to that music. No, I'm going to say, man, good for you. Let me help you out with it. Actually, I didn't get to mention this, but I have some new Christian music CDs for teenagers that want it, that will listen to it, especially those who might have made a decision to teen spec to listen to the right kind of music. I have those. So listen, I'll help you. Seal your decision with godly people. Maybe you have Christian parents. Man, let them know about your decisions. Let them know that maybe you want to be more faithful to church or that you want to read your Bible more, and they will help you. Listen, they'll remind you. You need to be accountable. Say, well, I don't want anybody to know my decision because I don't want anyone to think down on me. Well, listen, anybody that thinks down on you for a decision you made for the Lord has got their own problems to deal with. I'll tell you one person that's not going to judge you for it is me. Listen, you got a decision you made for God. I want to help you with it. I want to pray for you about it. I'll pray for you. Already I've been praying, Lord, help this person, that person that made a decision at Teen Spec, help them to do well. And I've been praying for you. Seal your decision with godly people. Let's say you make a decision to live for God. Your decision is just, man, I want to just please God with my life. I'm going to live for God. Hanging around the wrong kind of friends is not going to help you live for God. So don't just surround yourself with godly people, but make sure you're not surrounding yourself with ungodly people. The Bible says that light should have no fellowship with darkness. That doesn't mean if you have friends that maybe aren't doing right or that are bad examples, that you go up to them and say, I can't hang out with you anymore because you're really bad and I'm really good. That's just stupid, okay? That's wrong. That's wrong in itself. That's pride, and God's not going to bless that. But let's say that you decide, you know what? I need to make changes in my life. I need to be a better Christian teenager. And you have friends at school, maybe you go to public school or even Christian school, whatever, and you have friends in your life that don't care about God, that don't want to live for God, and that really want to do the opposite of living for God, and that's live wrong. If you surround yourself with them, I promise you're not going to draw them away from the world into Christ. They're going to draw you away from God. Surround yourself with godly people. Seal it with godly people. Listen, again, I'm not saying you need to be a jerk to people, but I am saying you may have to say, you know what? I know we're friends, but we can't talk about this stuff anymore, or we can't listen to that anymore, or I'm not going to be able to hang out with you if you're going to keep doing that because I'm a Christian. I want to live for God. I want God to be pleased with me. Listen. It's not an easy decision. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but God will bless it. Seal your decision with godly people. Number four. This is a quick one, but seal it with proper music. Seal it with proper music. That was my biggest struggle as a teenager, was listening to the right kind of music. I didn't listen to, you know, stuff that was super, super, but I didn't listen to Christian music, and I listened to stuff that probably wasn't good. It wasn't good. And even if I was trying to live for the Lord and trying to read my Bible and all these other things, if I was listening to the wrong kind of music, man, I was not close to God like I should be. I was making mistakes, and I was away from God, and I would try to justify it. Well, it's not that bad, or I'm not listening to that much, or this and that. And listen, it was a cop-out. It was just an excuse. If a decision that you've made in your life for the Lord, and one of those decisions is, man, I want to live for God and please Him, you'll never get there by listening to the wrong kind of music. Well, Pastor John, what is the wrong kind of music? That is a whole other message all in itself, and I don't have the time to go through it. Here's what you can do. You can come to me and say, Pastor Donald, this is what I'm listening to. What do you think? And I'll be very honest with you. I may say, you know what, that's nothing to worry about. You're okay. Or I may say, you know what, that's not good. Take your music and think about what they're singing about. If they're singing about stuff that's not good, then it's probably not good. If they're singing about stuff that's disrespectful to authority or rude or inconsiderate, it's probably not good. And when I say probably, I mean it isn't. And if you're listening to that kind of music, it's not going to help you keep your decisions. You're going to fail in your decisions. Seal your decisions with proper music. The Bible talks about psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. That doesn't mean you have to sing all these old, you know, hymns, and that's it. Listen, we sang some great songs up at Teen Spec. There's Christian music, all kind of Christian music that you can get. I got almost 10,000 Christian songs on my iTunes. And I made a CD. It's got like 23 songs on it. And listen, you can listen to the right kind of music. It's not impossible. Say, well, I have to have my music. No. Listen, God will bless you. God will give you things to listen to. He's not going to leave us hanging. He won't. Seal your decision with proper music. Here's the last one. We'll be done. Seal it with prayer. Seal it with preaching. Seal it with godly people. Seal it with proper music. And number five, your decisions that you make in your life for the Lord. And this is the most important one. Seal it with God's power. Seal it with God's power. I said it at the beginning, and I'll say it again. You cannot keep your decisions by yourself. I tried it many times. That's why I failed so often, because I tried to do it with my own power. I tried to do it by myself. I'd make a decision. I'd say, okay, I'm going to do it. And every time I messed up and failed. I stand here tonight as a youth pastor, as a preacher, as someone who's trying to live for God, because I finally threw my hand up and said, God, I can't do this by myself. I need your help. I need your help to live a godly life. I need your help to do right. I need your help to find the right spouse. I need your help to find the right Bible college. I need your help to do this and that and that. And I realized I couldn't do it by myself. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, I can do all things, but it doesn't stop there. It says, I can do all things through Christ, with God's help. You made a decision at TeenSpec or beyond that, maybe at a youth rally or at church here or at teen camp, whatever. You made a decision for God. You can't do it by yourself. You need God's power. You need his help. And that's where the prayer comes in and the preaching comes in, all the other things, to help you realize, okay, I can't do this by myself. I need God's help. So seal it. You got decisions you've made. Seal it up, just like this food. I talked about having food. Listen, if you don't do it, it's going to go bad. It's not going to work. It's not going to last. You know what? You'll be at a youth conference or teen spec next year making the same decisions, and you're going to go through your whole life doing that. And then you're going to be out of the youth group, and you're not going to have any more teen camps. You're not going to have any more teen specs, and you're going to be on your own. You need to seal your decisions. Here's another thing. This is one of the points, but sometimes the problem with food, at least, when sometimes I can put food in here and seal it up. Like I talk about the macaroni and cheese. Now, if I let that macaroni and cheese sit there for however long, it's going to go bad anyway, even though it's sealed. So I need to eat it. I need to eat it before it goes bad. And it's the same with our decision. You made a decision to be a better witness. You don't say, okay, Lord, help me be a better witness. And you go in here preaching, and I'm around God. And then you're never witnessing. You never come out for soul winning. You're never passing out tracts. You're never being a witness. That's making a decision and then not doing it. You say, well, I need to read my Bible more. And you can't get up early to read it. You're praying about it. You're listening to preaching about it. You're around the right kind of people, the right kind of music, and you're trying, but you're not doing it. Just like, man, you got food in this container. You better eat it or it's going to go bad even though it is sealed. So, yes, seal your decisions up, but then do them. Act upon those decisions. Be a better witness. If you made a decision to pray more, then pray. If you made a decision to read your Bible or pray, then do it. Don't just make the decision and say a few words, but actually do the decision. Do what you said you would. Do what you commit. When you commit something to God, you need to do it. And he'll give you the strength to do that. Let's have our heads bowed and eyes closed for a minute, guys. And we're going to have Miss Tasha come. And let me just ask a few questions tonight. And I want you to be honest. I want you to be really honest with me. Okay? How many would raise your hand in just a minute when I ask a question? Say, Pastor Donald, I have made a decision. Maybe it was at Teen Spec. Maybe it was at teen camp or even just at church. I have made a decision, but I know that I haven't kept it like I should. Would you raise your hand so I can see it? Okay, now listen. Some of us haven't had much time. Ms. Tasha, you can play whenever you're ready. Start playing. You've made decisions, but you haven't kept them. You heard a message tonight from God's Word about how you can keep those decisions. It's not just by coming up to an altar again and praying about them. It's by going through these five things and praying about them and being faithful to church and being around the right kind of people and listening to the right kind of music. You don't realize how much music can affect your attitude. But most of all, filling it with God's power. The last thing I want as a youth pastor is for my teenagers to make a decision and then fail. I don't want to see anybody fail. I know what it feels like, and I hate it. If you have made a decision and you don't want to fail at it, and you want to keep that decision, would you raise your hand up so I can see it? I'm going to ask you to do something tonight. I'm going to ask you while the piano's playing. Don't be embarrassed. Don't just do it because everyone else is doing it. But I'm going to ask you from your seat to come down to this altar and say, God, I want to seal my decisions. God, I want to seal them right now. I'm going to seal at the altar. Make a commitment to you and seal it. If you raised your hand and said, listen, I don't want to mess up my decisions. I want to keep them. I'm asking you to get over your pride, to get over your embarrassment, and come down to an altar right now and seal it with him. Many are here. Take your time. Don't rush. It's okay. Tell God that you mean business. Seal it at the altar. Say, God, help me to pray about it more. Help me to be faithful. Help me to be around the right kind of people. Lord, I don't want to fail at my decision. I want to keep my decision. You seal it at this altar. God wants to help you. And if he doesn't help you and you're doing it by yourself, I promise you won't make it. And I that's just the truth. I've seen myself not make it. Only through God can we keep those decisions. Take your time to pray. When you're finished praying, you can go back to your seat. And we'll pray and be dismissed. Seal it. Seal it with him. If you don't, listen, it'll go bad. Just like that food, it'll go bad, it'll be stale, and it's going to be trash and useless. I don't know about you, but the decisions that I make for God, I want to keep them. God can use every one of you to do great things. But you've got to keep those decisions. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, don't look around. Let me ask one more question. Is there anybody in here tonight? Now listen. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Heaven is a real place. Heaven is a real place. But so is hell. Hell is just as real as heaven. Hell is just as real as me standing here tonight. And if you die without Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you will spend forever and ever in a place called hell where there is pain and suffering and darkness. And listen, I'm sorry, that's just the truth. That may scare you, but that is true. If you have never asked Jesus Christ to save you and you don't know where you'd go if you died, listen, we can show you from the Bible how you can know for sure that you're going to heaven. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let me ask you a question. If you say, Pastor Donald, I don't know where I would go if I died. I don't know if I'd go to heaven. I don't know if I'd go to hell, but I really want to make sure I'm going to heaven. And I would like someone to show me from the Bible how I can know for sure I'm going to heaven. Would you raise your hand so I can see it? Anybody at all? Say, I don't know where I'm going when I die, but I want to make sure it's heaven. Anyone at all? Raise your hand up real quick and put it back down. I see that hand. Anybody else? Say, I don't know if I'd go to heaven when I die, but I want to make sure that I am. Would you raise your hand so I can see it? Anyone else at all? There was one hand. Don't be embarrassed. Listen, don't let your embarrassment send you to hell. Say, Pastor Donald, I don't know where I'd go if I died. Would you raise your hand? All right. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one looking around. We're going to pray in just a minute. Listen, seal your decisions, guys. God's got big plans for you. But you need to seal those decisions up. You need to ask God for strength. Heavenly Father, God, thank you so much for being so good to us. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your guidance. I ask you to bless us. I ask you to bless these teenagers. Thank you for them being here tonight. You're a great God. Help us to take those decisions that we've made and seal them up, Lord. Seal them up with prayer, with preaching, with, Lord, the right kind of people and godly music, Lord, and all these things, God. Please help us. We need your power to keep these decisions. Thank you for all you've done for us, your precious and holy name. Amen.